Leia gives birth a fourth time. But Toyman, she says, Hapam Oides Hashem, this time I'll thank God. Batikshma Yehuda, and she calls her son Yehuda, which is cognate with the word Oida, to thank, to give praise. Toida. Isa b'Gemara, we learn in the Gemara Megillah, Omer Reb Yitzchak. Reb Yitzchak says, in Yom Elcho, if somebody says to you, Yogati v'loy matzosi, alta. Somebody says, you know, I worked really hard, but I didn't succeed. Don't believe it. Lo yogati matzosi. If somebody says, nah, I did nothing. I just succeeded. Don't believe it. Yogati matzosi tamin. If they say, I worked hard and I succeeded, believe it. So the Ishbitzi says, v'nai gemara vada lebishuftin askinan. You can be sure the Gemara is not talking to fools, not talking about fools. So obviously, if somebody is saying, I worked but I didn't succeed, we know that he worked very hard, he toiled, he strove, he did all the things that he thought he was supposed to do and he still didn't succeed. He didn't find what he was looking for. Somebody who says, I didn't even try and I succeeded. We see. He didn't try very hard. How is it possible? The Gemara says, don't believe it. I mean, what? Don't believe what you see with your eyes. Don't believe what you yourself experience. What does it mean? The whole Inyan, it happens here. In other words, the Ishbitz is saying this Gemara could almost be talking about Rochel and Leah. Ki betach Rochel imenu kama tfiles v'kama bakoshes biksha sheyeshia l'Hashem. How much davening do you imagine Rochel, our mother, did that God should listen to her, hear her voice, her prayers, she should have children? We can't imagine what she went through in her striving. That's all she wanted to do. She wanted to have children with Yaakov Avinu. For the right reasons, right? So, if there was anything that she felt in herself that needed to be fixed, or whatever, anything in the relationship that needed to be fixed, anything in her kavanah that needed to be fixed, she fixed it. Ach, b'pnei zeh lo yehoyelo, this is the reason that all her efforts were in vain. Lefi shenema v'tekanei Rochel ba'achoisa. Because the Torah tells us, and Rochel was jealous of her sister. V'hutricho hakino lehizbare. That jealousy required birurin. In English, I've translated it as assay. It means to discover the purity of the metal, to see what elements this is made up of, and whether it's pure. So, what is a pure jealousy? The Ishbitzi says, im hikina sofrim. If it's like the jealousy of the suffering, the Gemara says, "Kina suffering, ma b'chochma." The jealousy among scribes is what raises the educational level of the world, right? Everybody wants to write a better book. Everybody wants to figure out better education. Everybody wants to come out with a nicer product that will be more interesting to the students. So, all this competition makes for better learning materials. So the Ishbitzi says, when the Torah tells us that Rochel has jealousy, if it's the kind of jealousy where it's a desire also to be productive and a desire also to bring down the glory of God into the world and the desire also to be part of the flowering of the blossom of Yisrael, and so on. That's called kinah suffering. That is a jealousy, a competitiveness that only produces good things. It's a shem shemaim. Or is it kinah ba'alma? Is it just jealousy, old-fashioned jealousy? Envy, green-eyed, sort of, you've got it. I want more than you've got. Why should you have and me not? Kefi derech hateva, which is kind of a natural sort of jealousy. So that's, once the Torah says, Vatikane Rochel b'choso, that Rochel is jealous of her sister, then it's obvious she's going to have to go through a process of Birurin to help us find out, or help her find out what kind of kinah, what kind of jealousy it is. Vehine. Hisnagus Hashem Yisborach Imho Odom, the way God deals with people is like this. Asher bo'oisa ha'toivo shenosen b'hamido, in that very gift that God gives us, b'hamido hazois ba'atzmo boro bo'i chisore. So God gives us gifts, and the gift contains a vital flaw, a universal flaw, a systemic flaw. Al kein lo yochal ha'toiv letzis lepoel koidim shisrapa chesroinu. So the gift cannot manifest in all its divine glory until the systemic flaw is fixed, healed. V'koidim shir rope ha'chesroinu, and before that whatever is lacking is healed, lo yoyel kamet tefilis v'sigufim no ha'odam, there's no amount of praying and self-flagellation or whatever, self-sacrifice, nothing's going to help the person. At yisrape chisroinoi, until he heals what is lacking in him, v'oz yivosha, and then comes the salvation. Al kein, therefore, lefi she'rochel hutzricho lehizbare, because Rachel was required to be tested b'midas kino, in her jealousy, v'koidim shenizbarer b'zois lo yhoyel lo shum tefila v'chol nigos, and before she is shown, or before she proves herself in this midah, nothing's going to help her. All her efforts are in vain. Val kein, kasher bikshim Yaakov avinu shiyisbaler bado, choro hapoi oleh. So when Rachel comes to Yaakov and says, please, Yaakov, help me, do something for me, bring down some kind of yeshua for me, because if you don't, I'm just going to die, because I've got to have a child. Yaakov gets angry with her. You know, one of the things that the Ishbitz doesn't really talk about here is what are the ramifications of the jealousy of Rachel. You know, in the future, Rachel's going to have children, Yosef and Binyamin. Yosef in particular is going to display those characteristics that resemble jealousy. Yosef is going to bring dibosom ro el avihen, is going to tell stories about his brothers. He's going to say bad things about them to the father, right? And in other ways, he's going to do things that you could say, you know what? That is acting out of the emotional flaw of Rachel, their mother, who was jealous of her sister. And so, the kina, this jealousy, which, you know, in the book of Numbers, in Sefer Devarim, we have the story of Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKohen, and Pinchas goes and stabs and kills the prince of the tribe of Shimon, because he caught him in flagrante delicto with Cosby Bastur, the princess of the tribe of Midian, and people were saying about Pinchas, you know, the same thing, that Pinchas has got some aspect of jealousy in him, some aspect of the kino. And God says, "Bekano yes kinosi b'seicham." God uses that word, jealousy, but then it gets translated as zealous. The Gemara says, in the Pasha of Soita, it says a man who will be jealous of his wife. And the Gemara says that the kina talked about here only comes into a person who's full of tahara. I'm not even going to try and translate what is the meaning of tahara. But these ideas, these concepts of a jealousy l'shem shamayim, it's a caring, it's a wanting to bring something beautiful and powerful and pure into the world. It doesn't come from a competitiveness with the other. It doesn't spring out of comparing oneself to the other or feeling somehow resentful. There aren't any negative aspects to the kino which is holy. It comes entirely from the love of God. So now the Torah tells us that Rachel has jealousy, which is awakened by her sister's success in having, you know, children and starting a family with Yaakov. So now that her kina is woken up, she has to go through the process of Birurin. And before she goes through the process of Birurin, there's no amount of praying and acting out which is going to like change the situation. And that's why when she comes to Yaakov and she says, "Yaakov, you have to do something for me," Yaakov gets angry. And the Ishmael says, "Lahovin Zois," that needs some explaining why Yaakov gets angry. Ki halibid kidin asa, Rachel's done the right thing. Because the Gemara says, everybody knows, you got a problem, go to the Rebbe, right? You're having some kind of a difficulty, go to the Rebbe. You're having a personal difficulty, financial difficulty, whatever it is. You go to your Rebbe and you say, please help. So, Yaakov is the Rebbe, so why does he get angry when Rachel comes to him with the problem? And the Ishbitz points out that the Ramban asks this question, and in fact, the Ramban condemns Yaakov and says this is one of the sins of Yaakov, is that he got angry when Rachel came to him with a problem. Ach, the Ishbitz says, Machmas shekosev koidem, since beforehand, the Torah tells us Vatikane Rachel, that Rachel was jealous. Al kein vayichel Yaakov, that's why Yaakov was angry. Yaakov is getting angry with Rachel because he says, I can't help you so long as you haven't worked through your kino. But when Yaakov hears from Rachel, she says to him, here's my maidservant. So I will also be built from her. So the fact that Rachel introduces yet another woman, another fertile and fecund woman, who's going to have more babies with Yaakov Avinu, she's brought a rival into her house, which proves that her jealousy is not she's not jealous of Leah. She's not jealous of anyone. The jealousy, the word jealousy, is it's of a much higher order. It's jealousy. V'zeh pirish yugati v'lo imitzosi al tamen. And this is the meaning of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, if somebody says, yugati v'lo imitzosi, I strove, I tried so hard, I did everything possible, and I didn't succeed, al tamen, don't believe it. Even though you see that the person really wore themselves to the bone, you know, it's not how hard you work, it's how smart you work, right? And just because the person struggled and did everything that they thought they could do to succeed and didn't succeed, doesn't mean that they did the right thing. The Ishmael says, you got to compare it, Ka'adam aroitz likones lebay, somebody wants to enter the house, right? So he wants to go in the house. V'doifik shalom k'mepesach, so he's banging on the wall where there's no door. Afil yitfoy kol hayoyim leyoyle, you can bang all day on the wall, on the brick wall, and you'll never get through. Avok shiyovel lemok k'mepesach, but as soon as you knock at the door, v'yitfoyk, and then you just knock, az miyad yiftachle, then somebody's going to open it for you. So Rochel, so long as she hadn't worked through her kino, her jealousy, she was just banging her head against the wall. As soon as she figured out what she needed to do and to work through whatever aspects of jealousy that needed to be worked through, so then she knocks at the door. On the other hand, the Gemara says, "V'lo yugati yamasosi," somebody who says, "I didn't do anything at all, but I succeeded," the Gemara says, "You don't believe that at all." So the Ishbitzer says, "That's Leah." Kikishiyold es Yehuda, when Leah gives birth to Yehuda, what does she say? Hapam oideh Hashem. This time I really thank God. Lefi shelo biksho alze, because she didn't ask for Yehuda. You know, everybody knew that Yaakov Avinu is going to have 12 children. 12 tribes are coming out of Yaakov. Once Leah had had 3, Reuven, Levi, and Shimon, so, you know, she didn't have any expectations of having more children than that. Ki kvar nok chelka mikoidem, because she'd already taken her portion. Kfi acheshben alav by Moshe, if you divide 12 by 4. So, v'nira, it looked as though, lo yogati mitzosi. She says, you know, I'm somebody, I didn't even try, but I succeeded. The Ishbitzer says, but that, you know, you don't believe it. Don't believe it. Eitzel Hashem Yisbarach Hu HaKol B'Mishpat, everything is right and proper and done according to the just measure. Ki Hashem Yisbarach Heid Oleho, because God is bearing witness on her, Ki Yogo Es Atzmo Mo'oid, that she strove really hard, v'gimel bonim horishonim, in the first 3, and that she processed all her stuff. K'mo she'amara, that she herself said, ki ra Hashem ba'oni, God has seen my poverty, my pain, and that's why she calls him Reuven. And then the second one, she says, ki shoma Hashem, God has heard, ki sno anochi, that I am the hated one. And she calls him Shimon. The third one, she says, Apam, this time you love her, this time my husband will walk with me. And so the Torah kind of bears witness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't think that Leah has had her story go easily. She hasn't. She's put tremendous effort in. V'nosan lo Hashem Yisbarach es Yehuda. So God has given Leah the fourth son, whom she calls Yehuda. Ka'odam shenoisin hakor lechaveroi im lekech mimenu harbe. Like somebody who throws in, a hakora is something that weighs down the scales. To be machria is to push down the scales. So you know the scales are like almost half-half, they're like balanced here there. Somebody throws in another thing, isn't it? Bang, the scales go right down. Okay, the measure is full. And, you know, when you buy something in a large measure from somebody, then they'll do it. If you're only buying, you know, a pound, you buy a pound of flour, so the scales are pretty much even. But if you buy a ton of flour, then the person will throw in enough to make sure that this, your side of this pan, the scales really are weighed down. Because when you buy in that kind of quantity, then the person says, here, I mean, I don't mind throwing in 20, 30 pound extra. No big deal, right? It's called a hakora. And that's the idea of the baker's dozen. In the Middle Ages, the courts were really very strict about weights and measures, and you could have your hands chopped off. Even in Hammurabi's time, I believe, if you sold somebody weight of that there was a saying, a loaf for a hand, right? That if you sold somebody underweight, it was a very severe punishment. So the bakers were always very careful to throw in a good measure. So a baker's dozen was like he would throw in an extra bagel, right? So the Ishbitzi says, on the face of it, Yehuda, the birth of Yehuda, the fourth one, is like an extra one. God says, all right, so you have Reuben, Shimon, Levi here. I'm giving you another child, Yehuda, as a sort of a gift for all your hard work. But the Ishbitzi says, V'toisvosoi shalakodesh bochum merubah lo eke. Whenever God throws in a hechreah, whenever God throws in an extra, it is always more than the original. In fact, the extra that God throws in weighs more than the entire business deal that you had going. V'zehu yikras nefesh Yehuda hashegova be'echov. And this is the preciousness, the greatness of the soul of Yehuda, who later rules over his brothers. Ki kol hagadlus yotze mimenu, because all the greatness of the Jewish people, really, whatever we have that's great, and we have plenty of things that are great, right? We can attribute them to the fact that we're descendants of Yehuda. Ba'al ze omro, and this is why Leah says, Hapam oides Hashem. This time I'm going to thank God. Ki nefesh kzeh, because a soul as precious as Yehuda, lo yivoled b'koyach. This is not something you can bring, you can give birth to on your strength. Ubischat tzidkus v'yashus ha'odom, and in recompense for your merit or for your saintliness. And Yehuda, a soul like Yehuda, doesn't come down into the world as payment for some mitzvah that a person does. Rak mi birchas Hashem isbrach. A soul like that of Yehuda only comes down into the world as a blessing from God. Ki kishiyova mikoyach ha'odom, because when a person succeeds in bringing something down in the merit of a mitzvah, eina bo rak kifi masa, then there's an equivalent. The person does a mitzvah, so there's a measure for measure. So it doesn't matter how great a person is, it's not infinite. So it's very great. But to think of Yehuda in terms of very great, then you're missing the point. Because Yehuda is not very great, Yehuda is like at the level of infinite. But when God throws in the extra to weigh down the scales from as a gift, also belushim gvul, then that thing is an infinite thing, because it wasn't earned. It's something that God throws in, and God can. It doesn't have to be a recompense. There's no measure. It's not a measure for measure. It's a thing. It's a divine thing. It's a divine gift, and it can be infinite. Also, b'lishun gvul, without any boundary. Al-Kain, that's why, toisfosoi meruba alo'ika, when God throws in some extras that are not earned, that are not there as a recompense, then they can equal more than all the others put together. And that's why when we look at the musical trope, when it says Vataha Oid, it says Vataha Oid, the musical trope is a Munach Zarko, which translates Munach is to lay and Zarko is to throw. Al Kihem Boilo Bigiyoso, because they, Shimon and Levi, they come into this world through the efforts of Leah. Aval al vataha oid al Yehuda, but when the Torah says, and she again became pregnant, nokud kadma v'azlo. It's a different musical trope. Kadma v'azlo is just progress and movement below yigiyosa, without her efforts. V'zeh sh'onu mispallim b'tfilas Shmoneh Esrei, and this is when we're davening Shmoneh Esrei, it says, v'koine ha'koil, v'zoicher chazdei ovois, so there are three elements here. Koine hakoil, acquires everything, owns everything. V'zoicher chazdei ovois, and remembers the chesodim, the loving kindnesses of the ancestors. Umevigoyel, and he brings the Redeemer livnei v'nehem, l'man shmoi, for his name's sake. So the Ishbitzer says, what does it mean? It seems a little bit contradictory. If God is doing us favors because he remembers the kindnesses, the mitzvahs, the deeds of our ancestors, then why does it say that he brings the Redeemer for his namesake, Man Shmoy? Why doesn't it say for their sake? You know, if they earned it with their deeds, then, you know, there's something wrong. There's something a little bit unclear. V'koina ha'koil, what does it mean that God owns everything? God has business with all his creatures. This idea that God somehow only has dealings with the great people, either greatly good or greatly bad, but that we mediocre souls are not really, you know, we're not significant enough to have the attention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or our mitzvahs are not meaningful enough, or our lives are not that important, or in any way that somehow there's a difference between the Hashgacha Pronis, the divine providence that applies to all things great, that there's some difference between that and the divine providence that applies to all things small. That is what this phrase dismisses. V'koine ha'koil. God acquires everything in the universe. Everything belongs to God. It doesn't matter how great or how small. There is no such thing as dova levatola, something that's been overlooked, right? V'zoicher chazdei ovois, and God recalls the loving kindnesses of our ancestors. Hayinu she'Hashem yisborach zoicher hatoiv shehoyu ha'ovois oisim b'kol koicham u'b'kol nafsham. God remembers the great kindnesses that our ancestors who devoted their whole lives and all their strength in every minute. And what were they doing? They were bringing the world to God. And they didn't spend a moment of their life that they weren't in awe of God, in love with God. And God remembers that. Nevertheless, when God brings the Redeemer to their children, of the patriarchs, Leman Shmoi, he does it for the sake of his children, for the sake of his name. Why? Ki bezchusam einoi kedai legalos oirish ha'melech ha'mashiach. Because if we are to take the value of a mitzvah, there is no mitzvah that you could do that deserves Mashiach. The light of Mashiach is so great. You know, we talk about Mashiach as though we understand the concept, you know. The Medrash says, Bereshis bara lekim, es hashmayim ves oretz, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, v'oretz ha'isusoyhu v'voyhu, and the earth was chaos and void, v'choshech al pnei tohim, and there was darkness over the abyss. So the Medrash says, Toyu Voyu Choshech Tohoim, all these refer to the different kinds of exile of Syria and Greece and Persian Media and Edom. V'ruach Elikim Merachefes Al Pnei Hamayim, in the spirit of Mashiach. V'ruach Elikim, when we talk about Ruach Elikim, the spirit of God hovering, that's Ruchoy Shel Mashiach. V'yomer Elikim, and God said, Yihi Or, let there be light. So the whole creation of the world is preceded by this hovering over the face of the waters of the Ruach HaMashiach, the soul of Mashiach. So when we think, you know, Mashiach is a person, you know, riding on a donkey who's going to come and, you know, if that's what all we think Mashiach is, then we've missed something, because, you know, Mashiach is Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or. God said, let there be light. So the whole creation of the world is tied in with the birth of Mashiach. So the birth of Mashiach is not going to come about because my Zayde gave tzedakah and he helped a poor man, and there was this rabbi who came to town, he didn't have any food, and my Zayde went in with some money and he gave it to him, and the man bought a house and he settled down. It's a very big mitzvah, but that's not the mitzvah that's going to release the spirit of Mashiach in the world. So even though Zoicher Chazei Avos, even though God remembers the kindnesses of the ancestors, who may be Goel Livneim, when God brings the Redeemer, it's Leman Shmoy, for his name's sake. The Ishvitz brings us here because the birth of Yehuda is one of the big visible steps in the birth of Mashiach, right? Because from the tribe of Yehuda comes the house of King David, and from the house of King David comes the seed of Mashiach, right? So the Ishbitza wraps it up by saying, V'haynu mad isa b'gemora, we learn in the Gemara, Hanoisin la'oni malei umsoi bo'olam hazeh, somebody who gives a full measure to the poor man in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu noisin lo'i malei umsoi lo'olam habo, God gives is a full measure in the world to come. Why do I need to have a Gemara in Sanhedrin who tells me that if you do good, God does back good? Well, you know, we have in so many places, we have the concept of measure for measure, recompense, you know, that God pays back for every mitzvah that you do. Why does the Gemara in Sanhedrin say this thing? And what is this strange expression? You know, a full pack, the full deal, the whole Monty. If your person gives somebody the whole thing, the ganze Shmir, the whole 9 yards, God's going to go the whole 9 yards in the future. So the Ishbitzer says, Machmas Shehei Miyagem is Atzman B'Kol Koicham. There are two concepts. There's the concept of being paid for the mitzvah that you do. If a person says to God, you know, Rabbi Shlom, I got up every day of my life, I went to shul in the morning 65, 70 years, I never missed a shacharis, and I was always davening with minyan, and so, you know, how are you going to pay me back for this? So God says, all right, so I'll give you a lifetime of food. Did you ever go hungry in your lifetime? So I made sure you had breakfast every morning you came up for shul? Okay. So we square, right? You know, if I do a mitzvah and I expect to be paid for the mitzvah, then whatever I get is going to be pretty finite. But God doesn't look at it like that, right? God says, you know what? This person gave their all. This person, through their whole koiches, their whole life, this person did not hold back. Doesn't matter whether they succeeded or not. It doesn't matter whether whatever it was that they were doing was so marvelous. It doesn't matter when you look at that person's life whether you see success or failure, right? The question is only, that person, were they giving their all? Were they putting everything that they had into that act? Did this person give his whole life into the act of whatever it was that he was doing that he thought was a mitzvah? Yeah, he did. All right, God says, okay, I'm going to put my everything. I'm going to do the same. I'm going to put my everything. And so this, now we understand the connection, even though it says, V'zoicher chasdei ovois, and God remembers the kindnesses of the fathers. Nevertheless, so maybe goyev nevnev neman shmoy, what comes into the world, the Mashiach that comes into the world is for God's sake, right? And the Ishbitzah says, well, that doesn't mean it's not connected to what the fathers have done, but it's not a measure for measure in the sense of they did a great mitzvah, so God is going to pay them back with a great... Nothing that they could have done is going to bring Mashiach. You know what it was that they did? They did with all their koyach. They did some, whatever act it was that they were doing, they didn't hold anything back. Doesn't matter if it was a small mitzvah, right? Malay umsoy, to give for a poor person a full pekel, doesn't mean that you spent your whole life taking care of one poor man, right? It means that when you gave the tzedakah to the poor man, you didn't hold back, right? When you said, Omein Yeheshmei Rabbo, you know, when you were answering Amen on a brocha, you answered with your whole koyach. You didn't hold back. Right? When you smiled at somebody, you didn't hold back. Right? When you kept Shabbos and you're buying food for Shabbos, you didn't hold back. Right? So whatever it was that you were doing, that, God remembers that. And he says, I won't hold back. So when God throws in the machria, when God throws in the extra, God says, I'm going to do it the way that they did their mitzvot. I'm not going to hold back, right? And so God throws in a soul like Yehuda, who is the soul of Mashiach, who is the reason for the creation of the world. Anything great that's in the world is the Malchus of the tribe of Yehuda. This is the Shekhinah, right? Everything that we think is wonderful, that's Yehuda. And where does it come from? Because God throws in his whole... God didn't hold back. Why? Because we didn't hold back. Because they exert themselves with all their strength. That the revelation, it should be a revelation of the glory of heaven through them, Alkein Midas Adin Lo Yisenes. So then that's the measure for measure. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Yishalem Lehem Lefi Koycho Yisborach, that God pays back with not withholding also. So now let's go to the very first Torah in the Parsha. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. Yaakov goes out of Be'er Sheva. Vayelech Harono, and he goes to Choron. So the Medrash opens, Esso Einai, Rebbe Shmuel Ben Nachman says Shiramal Shir Lamalois Eso Enoi El Hehorim Me Ayin Yovi Ezri. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where's my help gonna come from? Yaakov Avinu, the Medrash says, lifts his eyes. Don't read it El Hehorim to the mountains, read it El Hehorim to the ancestors. Lemlophonai to those who came before me, Ulum Abdalai and to those who made me. I lift my eyes and compare myself to them, says Yaakov. May I know this? There's nowhere. Where's my help going to come from? You know, what have I done? What have I begun to do that compares to the kind of avodah that Avraham and Yitzchak put in? I mean, like, here I am. I'm nothing. And then he said, Eliezer b'shosh holach Lahovi as Rivka, when Eliezer went to Choron to betroth Rivka for my father Yitzchak, Maksiv Bey, what does the Torah say? Vayikachu Eved Asura Gemalim, and the slave took 10 camels with all the wealth and greatness and goodness of his master, Vani and I. Yaakov says, Loinezim, I don't have a ring, Veloitzomid, and I don't have a bracelet. Reb Chanina says, Gedud Sholche, that the truth is that when Yitzchak sent Yaakov to, he said, leave, go to my family in Mesopotamia and find yourself a girl from there. So he sent him plenty money. He sent him all laden, heavily laden. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Omar Shilach Emoy, he sent plenty with him, Elisha Omar Esav and Notlimen. But Esav took everything off him. So Yaakov finds himself with nothing, stripped naked. All he's got is a piece of cloth to cover himself with and a stick that he's holding in his hand, right? So he compares himself to his ancestors and he says, Ma, ano moivit svorai mimborei, what I'm gonna abandon hope, I'm gonna despair that God can help me. Chas v'shalom. God forbid such a thing. Leisa no moivet svorai mimborei, and no way am I gonna despair that my God is gonna forsake me. Elo, Ezri Meim Hashem, my salvation is going to come from God. So, why does the Medrash connect the Shila Malois Es Eina Elohorem to Yaakov Avinu? Because when David HaMelech was writing this psalm, you know, we're so familiar with it that we don't really ask ourselves the obvious question. I lift my eyes to the mountain, where is my salvation going to come from? My salvation is going to come from God. Well, you knew that before you lifted your eyes to the mountains, right? I mean, when you say lift my eyes to the mountains, it means I raise my eyes, right? You know where salvation comes from. It's just a rhetorical question or what? The whole psalm is like a rhetorical question? No, it's a real question. So how do I interpret the question? As so Einai El Horem, I lift my eyes to the great mountains, meaning I look at my ancestors, I look at my parents, my mother, my father, I see the avodah, the worship of God that they did in their lifetime. I see the mitzvahs that they accumulated. I see the Torah that they learned. I see the work that they put into the Gidul Bonim, to bringing up the children and so on and so on. I compare myself. It's like I'm a midget. I don't exist. I'm just like I'm like a little pebble somewhere lying in the valley, and I compared to my ancestors who are mountains. May I in Yom Ve'Ezri. Where's my help going to come from? In other words, from nothing? Me'ayin? What did I do that is going to earn me some kind of assistance from heaven? There's a despair that sets in. K'sheyotze Yaakov me'Be'er Sheva v'lo hayu lo lechem lecho v'lo shum dovar, when Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he doesn't have food to eat, and he doesn't have any money with which to do business or whatever. And then he's required, he sees he's going to have to work. He's going to go to Lovan and spend 14 years shepherding and more. Leman parnasosoy, for his parnas. Nofel datum, he became very depressed. Because he sees himself so small when in comparison to his fathers. Because Avram and Yitzhak didn't really have to worry about taking care of the bills, paying paying taxes and putting food on the table. And they spend their lives in worship of God and contemplating the Merkava. For who yitztarech lasik bedvorim kitanim keelu, and he, Yaakov, he's reduced to working out how he's going to make a living. So he was very depressed. He said, what is it about me that I'm not at that level, that I'm reduced this way, what's the message? So then he comes back and he thinks it through and he says, Leisa no moivit svorai mimbore, I am not going to lose faith in the salvation that my Creator has for me. Hainu af shehem hoyu bedvorim gedolim. Even though Avraham and Yitzchak, they spend their lives in worship of God in the Ma'asa Merkava, and they're like in this really high plane. Vani royes atzmi bedvorim ketanim, and I see that I'm going to spend my life, you know, taking care of sheep. Mikol mokim gam bezei yesh avdus Hashem yisbarach. My faith is that in my work that I do, in the shepherding that I'm going to do, that I'm going to spend, you know, my nights tending sheep and flocks and this and that, and, you know, lambing and all the stuff that needs to be done, my faith is that that is my salvation, and that God has just as much business with me as He has with my fathers, and that there is no difference between the great and the small. V'koine ha-koil, and this goes back to the Torah that we just learned, V'koine ha-koil, that God has business with all of creation equally, and God remembers the worship of the fathers, meaning that the work that Avraham and Yitzchak did and the work that Yaakov did are equal. And so the fact that I'm a pebble, says Yaakov, compared to my ancestors who are mountains, makes no difference. Ezri Meim Hashem. V'Hashem Nitzav Olav. God is standing over him in his dream. Everybody knows that the chief revelation of God in the word, in the world, to Ali De Shloisha, comes about through three elements, Hainu Oilam, Shono, and Nefesh. These are the three elements of the Sefer Yetzirah into which everything is divided, into space, time, and personality. Oilam hu mokem hamigdash, so in space, the highest, most closest revelation of God is in the Mokem HaMikdash, in the holy place, meaning the place where the temple was built. HaShashom is Galus HaLikus Yisbarach, because that's where the Godness of God is revealed. Bishono, and in time, Hu B'hamuvcha Shebizman Mu Shabbos, so the choice time where God is revealed is in Shabbos. Sheboy Nimtzis Galus HaLikus, because the Godness of God is revealed in Shabbos. V'nefesh, and in the personality, in the soul, who al nafshis miyisrael, that's on the Israelite soul, where the Shekhinah is apparent. V'hinei, and behold, kan hoya elo ashlish b'shlemus, at this moment, in time and space, they all came together in a perfect match. Mokem hamigdash, Yaakov finds himself on the temple precinct, Shinema, he says, Ein Zekim Beis Lekim, this could only be the house of God, right? He's on Mount Moriah. Uzman HaMuvcha, and in the special chosen time, Ki Betach Hoyezeh B'Shabbos Kodesh. So the dream, the night that Yaakov Avinu spends there is Friday night. So he's in Shabbos, V'nefesh of Yaakov Avinu. And the soul, that's the soul of Yaakov, Hamuvcha Shebe Nefoshos, who is the chosen of souls. Why? Sheboy Nechlelu Kol Nafshos Yisrael. Because in Yaakov, there are already gathered all the souls of all the Jewish people who are going to be born. Kamashe Kosev, V'gdishos Kadesh Yaakov, and they will sanctify the Holy One of Yaakov. Yaakov is the repository of all the souls of Eden. So they come together. V'hinei Hashem Nitzav Olav, behold, God is standing over him. V'hinei Hashem Nitzav Olav, zeh ha-posuk ba'atzmai hu brocha. The fact that God is stood over him, this itself is the brocha. It's not that God stands over him and says to him, I'm going to bless you, but that God standing there is already the blessing. U'b'ezeh k'mo shekadushi Shabbos yikvu v'kayma, just as Shabbos is fixed, it doesn't need to be sanctified by the Eden. You know, we don't have to call out Shabbos is coming in order for Shabbos to be holy, the way we do with Yontiv. It's holy because it says Vayikadish Oisoi, that God sanctified Shabbos. It's not like the festivals, Shisro, Mekadosh, and Oisom, that we make Kiddush and we make them holy and we call out the day. Beis Din says Mekudosh, Mekudosh. Shabbos doesn't depend on Beis Din. Kachu kedushas Yaakov Avinu kedushas Shabbos. The holiness of Yaakov himself is like that. Shekodosh mitzad Hashem Yisborach. It's sanctified by God. Ve'ein etzorach l'shem mesirusa, and it doesn't require an awakening from below. Ve'al kein ve'nema oimed olav, and that's why it doesn't say God is oimed standing, like nitzav. Like nitzav is like stationary. Because if it says and God is standing, it's like God can move sometimes away and now he's there. But now it says Nitzov. If it had said Oimed, I would understand that something Yaakov had done had brought God to rest there and stand there because of Yaakov's efforts. Aval Nitzov hain shetomid mekush imoy. But it says Velekim Nitzov olav, Hashem Nitzov olav, that God is stationary because God is always there. Vayomer, and God says, Ani Hashem, I am God, and the Kei Avraham Avicha, God of Avraham, your father, Velekei Yitzchak, and God of Yitzchak. So obviously the question is, why does it say, Elekei Avraham Avicha, God of Avraham, your father, and God of Yitzchak? It should have said, Ani Elekei Avraham, God of Avraham, Elekei Yitzchak Avicha, and the God of Yitzchak, your father. So his father was Yitzchak, not his grandfather. Isa b'zorei kodesh, ihu b'emtsa Isa. That he, Yaakov, is in the middle. The way it's set up here, Ani Elekei Avraham, I'm God of Avraham, Avicha, your father, ve'elekei Yitzchak. So the reference to Yaakov is between Avraham and Yitzchak. It says, Elekei Avraham, your father, Elekei Yitzchak. So the Zohar Kodesh points out that Yaakov is in between. And now, to understand why it says Avraham your father, Hine Midas Avraham, the character of Avraham in Midas Ahava is the characteristic of love, which is the Sefer of Chesed. Midas Yitzhak, Midas Yira, and the characteristic of Yitzhak is the Sefer of Pachad Yira, Din. Vehine, usually, b'mokim she'ohava b'hashpo merubo, where there's an abundance of love and giving and chesed, then mitztamtzim midas hayira, then the awe has to withdraw a little bit, right? It has to be restricted. How much fear can you have when you're in this state of love, right? Uvechein kishenimtzim midas hayira b'shleimus, but when there is like total awe, trembling in front of God, right? Mitztamtzim midas ahava, then the love has to like restrict itself. Avo b'Yaakov, avinu olav Hashem, but with Yaakov, ho yushneim b'mishkal. The two of them, Ahava and Yira, are both balanced, perfectly balanced. Neither of them has to go into constriction. V'zois nikra midas tiferes. And this is the Sefira, the middle Sefira, which is called Tiferes. And that's why the Zohar Kodesh says, Elekei Avraham, then Yaakov, Yaakov and Elekei Yitzchak. So Yaakov is in between Avraham and Yitzchak, because between Chesed and Gevura is Tiferes. Midas Yaakov, that's the mid of Yaakov. Kolo Mishneim, that comprises both of them. Ve'enem Soistrim Zemze, and they don't contradict one another. That in Yaakov, Ahav and Yira are not paradoxical. Avo, however, why does it say Elekei Avraham Avicha? It doesn't say Elekei Yitzchak Avicha. So the Ishbitza adds, Leinem Avicha al Yitzchak, it doesn't say Yitzchak your father. Ki b'midas Ahavo yekva mezukek, because when it comes to the characteristic of love, of Chesed, Yaakov didn't need any more work. He was complete in the sense that he had worked through all the aspects of Ahava, and he didn't have in him any non-kosher, non-holy Ahava. Avo b'midas hayira, but when it comes to fear, hoyetzorich lizbara, Yaakov still needed to go through process of assaying, and as we find in the coming sedras, you know, when Yaakov has to deal with Lavan, he's afraid, And he has to go through a process of figuring out what he's afraid of, whether he's afraid of Lavan or whether he's afraid of fear, right? And then he has to meet Esav on his return, and then he's greatly afraid, and he splits his family, and he prepares for war, and he prepares to meet Esav, and he has to go through a process, another meeting with God, so to speak, where he has to fight with the angel, and the dust of the fight goes up to the throne of glory, and Yaakov has to figure out what it is that he's afraid of. So when it comes to fear, he still hasn't worked through all the aspects of Yiruah.